Blog Talk Radio.
Come in.
Right.
Ah, Mr. Pilkington, and how are we today?
Yeah, I'm all right, Doctor. Yeah, I've just come for my checkup.
Okay, then. Pop your pants off.
What?
Just pop your pants off.
Well, I forgot to take my pants off.
Well, because I have to pop my finger up your...
Open me what?
To check your prostate gland.
Don't worry about it.
Well, I am worried about it, because prostate cancer kills 10,000 men every year in Britain.
You can check that out if they get any symptoms.
Well, there aren't always symptoms, and symptoms do vary from man to man, so the best way to check it out is I just pop my finger up there
I'm really
and have a feel.
Just
don't worry about it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I don't know why he was worried. You probably saved his life there.
Does he have to be here?
He's just a mate. Don't worry about him. He's just watching me at work.
Prostate cancer is the most common cancer diagnosed in men. The chances are you know someone who's affected by it. To help make a difference, please donate now.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you all for listening this morning. Some of you may have crawled out of the bed and you have your headphones on, or I see some people in the chat room. I just want to say thank you for waking up after a hard week of work. But this is a very important issue. I'm an African-American woman, and I know many African-American men who do not take care of their health, or just not on a regular basis. And preventative care is most important. So today's show is going to be talking about things that you can do to prevent. If you find out you have prostate cancer, what's your next step, the different treatments. And we have some wonderful guests this morning. We'll start off. We have Charlie Wilson. He's one of the most distinguished voices in R&B. He was a former member of the Gap Band. He has a recent album called Uncle Charlie. It debuted number one on the Billboard R&B and Hip Hop chart, and number two on the Billboard Pop chart. Good morning, Mr. Wilson.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you for joining us. And we also have Dan Dzenka. I can't say thank you enough to Dan. He's been very instrumental in getting some of the guests this morning. He's the Vice President of Communications at the Prostate Cancer Foundation, and they're doing wonderful work there researching, you know, what can we do, how can we solve this issue. Thank you for joining us, Dan.
Oh, my pleasure, and thank you for putting this together.
I think we have one other caller. Let me see if this is another one of our guests we're expecting. Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me? Okay. No. All right. Well, I just want to read an article. This is from the Washington Post talking about poor health care and black men and prostate cancer risk. This is from 2007. Black American men are at a higher risk for developing prostate cancer and dying from their illness because they often lack access to routine health care. While black men face a greater than 60% higher risk for prostate cancer than whites, prior efforts to explain this disparity have focused on a mix of genetic predisposition, poor education, and a general distrust of the medical system among the black community. But the new findings, which were published in April of that year, 2007, reveal that black American men are in fact well-educated when it comes to prostate cancer risk. Instead, the authors found that compared with white Americans, black men too often lack health care insurance or a regular relationship with a primary care doctor. I think the key issue, one of the key issues there for me, was the trust issue of the medical community. There is a lot of distrust in various ethnic communities of the medical community because of things that have happened in our country. Unfortunately, testing on black men of different, you know, medicines that have, you know, caused horrible results. So a lot of people don't trust the medical community and they try to stay close to home. But I think we have to branch out as black people and look at all of our options when dealing with a serious health issue. Don't just wait until you really are at the edge. Just for those of you who may not be aware, some people may not be aware of different parts. The prostate is a part of the male reproductive system. It includes the penis, the prostate, and the testicles. The prostate is located just below the bladder and in front of the rectum. So just for those of you who may not be there, what is the prostate and where is it? That's what's going on there. I want to start off with Mr. Wilson. Again, thank you for joining us this morning. And you're a prostate cancer survivor.
Yes.
So how do you feel? You feel good about that? You feel tentative? Are you nervous? How did you find out? And what symptoms did you have, if you don't mind sharing, that urged you to go get checked out?
Well, first of all, I am nervous, and I always have been nervous. But, you know, I'm a frequent doctor visitor now. That I used to didn't be. Hadn't been for my wife. Thanks to my wife for her insistence that I go to the doctor, like every other man in this country, just don't like to go to the doctor. I was doing a routine checkup, an annual checkup, and she insisted on me getting a PSA test, and I got this test. Of course, a couple of exams, the rectal exam, and the blood test, and so the week after that, they called me, and my doctor said they wanted me to come in. They were really concerned about the numbers that came up on me, and so when I went in, they was really panicking and said, I want to send you to a specialist. So I went to the specialist, and he took some same exams, and he came back and said, man, I got some good news and bad news. We said, well, what's the bad news? He said, you have prostate cancer. Wow. I was like, man, this is the end of my career. This is where I fall off the wagon. I just knew that this is where, I'm finna go, and this is the end of it all, so I might as well go party out or whatever.
You know? This is the end of the road, so let it all hang out.
Yeah, so, my wife said, what's the good news? And he said, well, the good news is it's early stage, and we can take care of it for him. So
Excellent.
Yes. So early detection is the key.
Early detection is definitely a key. Let me just tell some people that some of the symptoms that, and the symptoms vary from men based on the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. They may vary. You may not have the symptoms that Mr. Wilson had, or you may have some others, but some of them are difficulty starting urination, a weak or interrupted flow of urine, difficulty emptying the bladder completely, pain or burning during urination, blood in the urine or semen, also pain in the back, hips, or pelvis that don't go away. Now, that's an interesting one because I know guys like to be macho, and maybe you're lifting stuff and moving furniture or, you know, working in the garage and the car, and, you know, maybe you're under the car, all kinds of stuff, and maybe your back is hurting. But so that's an interesting one for me as in my research, that pain in the back, hips, and pelvis, but they don't go away. This pain is not going away. And also painful ejaculation. So if you're having any of these symptoms, there's something to talk with your doctor about. And the key point that Mr. Wilson brought up of early prevention, early diagnosis is extremely important. I want to bring Dan into the conversation. Dan, again, thank you so much for joining us. He's from the Prostate Cancer Foundation. Tell us a little bit about your organization and the support that you provide to researchers and also to the general public.
Right. Well, the Prostate Cancer Foundation was founded back in 1993. Back at that time, Mike Milken, who is our founder, was diagnosed with prostate cancer and was given 12 to maybe 18 months to live. He was appalled to find out that prostate cancer research was a backwater. There were no new drugs in development, few dedicated research labs, no tissue banks. So he saw the need and really rallied the U.S. sector to create an enterprise to find a cure for this disease. Since that time, we've raised more than $370 million for research, for 1,500 or more projects around the world at more than 200 institutions. And as a result, we've hoping the death rate down 40% from what was once projected. So we are making progress. You know, there's a lot of talk in the news these days about the war on cancer and what kind of progress is being made. The good news is that with the Prostate Cancer Foundation and in this field, real palpable progress is being made. And we do see a day where we will see an end to death and suffering from this disease.
Well, I think that's wonderful. It's so important because, Mr. Wilson, so when you found out that you had the cancer, I mean, who did you turn to? Did you go to any support groups? Or I see that you reached out to the Prostate Cancer Foundation. Where did you turn?
Well, basically, I'm just going to – it's cute, but I was sitting there, and I was just like was getting up, and my wife said, sit down, you a wimp, and we're going to take care of you. We're going to take care of this now. And so, I mean, she was the one who had really, really kept me strong. And then it was crazy. And then I found Dan. And then they gave me this platform because I immediately wanted to start talking to it about African-Americans because 1 in 6 Americans would develop prostate cancer, but 1 in 3 African-Americans would develop prostate cancer. So I decided to take this stage. And, you know, I do a lot of performance, so it was time for me to start doing a lot of informing about this disease. And everybody, a lot of people walk up to me and say, why are you telling everybody your business? I said, this business is not about me. It's about you because I know you haven't gone to the doctor to get a checkup.
Mm-hmm.
So the Prostate Cancer Foundation and I, we have been continuing to raise money, and all of my some of my shows, I'm donating money from the hats that I sell. I went to a country western concert once, and I seen and I seen everybody with cowboy hats going to the Tim Ross concert. So
right.
I decided to make me some Federos since I wear Federos all the time, and so I made these hats. And half the proceeds go to the Prostate Cancer Foundation. I'm always raising money, trying to help raise money for the cause because I know it also well. I lost my father in June to this disease, it's not a pretty sight if you wait too long. I'm sorry. And
Definitely. I want to mention that the Prostate Cancer Foundation, their website is www.pcf.org. Again, pcf.org, and to check out Charlie Wilson and his upcoming concerts, his new records, any information, you can go to pmusicgroup.com/Charlie. Again, pmusicgroup.com, and check out all information about his work. I mean, he's working hard. He told me he was up all night long working. So if you find out that you have prostate cancer early on, you can continue to live a very productive life. But again, the key is early prevention. I think we might have one other caller. Hold on a second. Good morning. Hello, can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning. Did you have a question this morning?
Yes. I'm just listening in to your guest, Joy, and just really that this is very informative for me because I'm approaching my 40s next year and getting checked for prostate cancer. More or less, I've been bringing it up to my doctor, and they've been telling me, well, you should wait until you're like, you know, around 50, you know. But in African American males, it's a higher risk, like Charlie said, rate. And it kind of made me suspicious about, you know, or going to seeking out an African American doctor, male doctor, I could relate to, because as the body changes, you're going through, you're not the same person that you were 20 years ago. And just informative about prostate cancer and just like some things that I need to take care of as an African American male for my health.
Well, I appreciate you joining the call. And I just want to thank you very much for making those comments, sir. I want to mention about the risk factors. Charlie mentioned that he lost his father to prostate cancer, and there is a higher risk if you do have a brother, a father, or a son who has prostate cancer. It's 2 to 3 times more likely that you will develop the disease. Also, again, it's mostly in older men, but again, similar to breast cancer, they're finding that a lot of young women are developing breast cancer. So similar that young black males or black men, white males, whatever, you can develop prostate cancer. So don't just think, oh, I have to wait. And that's a very big issue now with the government. Dan, maybe you can speak to the different issues of the screenings. They're trying to change the guidelines for screenings.
Correct. And, you know, breast cancer is also coming under fire for early screening and detection. You know, in the case of prostate cancer, one of the problems is that the tests we currently have now can detect cancer. That would be the digital rectal exam and the PSA blood test, leading up to perhaps if there's suspicion of a needle biopsy. But at that point, the doctor and the patient can only know that there is a cancer. And as with many cancers, there are several types, subcancers within that group.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two things that are going on here. There's the indolent cancer, that's the slow-going one, the one that you will never be harmed by, that you're more likely to die with than from. And then there's the very aggressive metastatic cancer. And this is the one that every 19 minutes a man is dying from, and we will lose 27,000 men from in the U.S. alone this year.
Mm.
So that creates a lot of confusion, uncertainty. What we say, and I know the American Cancer Society is backing off their recommendations for screening and detection, but we agree with the American Urological Association that says get a baseline at 40, talk to your physician about family history, risk factors, and then create a follow-up plan that's right for you. And then a lot of people believe that once you've been diagnosed, then there's only one route. No, there are many treatment options. There's active surveillance. There's radical prostatectomy. There's radiation therapy.
So there's a lot of choices out there. And,
right.
And actually, I'm glad. Yes. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to play a PSA in reference to an option for prostate cancer. So just listen closely.
For the first time ever, scientists have combined radiation therapy and a cancer vaccine, resulting in a potential new form of treatment which could possibly benefit patients with prostate cancer. A study funded by the National Cancer Institute looked into the idea of a vaccine-radiation combination therapy using mice as test subjects, according to Dr. James Gulley, primary author of the study.
This study was designed to see whether this approach was feasible in combination with radiation therapy, also to see whether it was safe. Now, based on these findings, that majority of the patients did generate an immune response, we can then go on to a larger clinical trial looking for clinical endpoints to see if this can decrease the likelihood of the cancer returning by giving the vaccines in combination with radiation therapy.
Dr. Gulley said this is the first step toward finding an alternative treatment for patients with localized prostate cancer. This is Wally Akinzo at the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland.
Well, that's a wonderful research, and that's, again, your research at the foundation and the funding that you can get. If anybody is interested in helping, what can I do today to help this issue of prostate cancer? Please go to these different organizations like the Prostate Cancer Foundation at pcf.org. Also, there's the prostatenet.org, which Virgil Simons had started. He was a prostate cancer survivor. And also Zero, which is the project to end prostate cancer. There's so many organizations out there that need your help. Funding has been decreased for a lot of organizations in the health field. So there's no money out there from the government coming into these organizations. You need to donate something. If it's your time, if it's your money, if it's your voice, and maybe at your church. If your church does not have some kind of group talking about health issues, I hate to say it, maybe you need to change your church. Because that is a serious issue, especially in the African-American community. Health issues need to be talked about. Mr. Wilson brought up people talking to him, well, why are you sharing your business? If we don't share our business, then we cannot move ahead. And I just say this all the time, especially the African-American, you have to wake up. We have to take responsibility for our health. Nobody else is going to do it. So in your churches, in your schools, in your elementary schools, talking to your children, if you're going out to dinner on Friday or partying with your boys, you give them a nudge. You know, men can talk to other men. Sometimes I know men feel women are nagging them about stuff. So for the men out there, talk to your boy and say, hey, look, I just went, got my checkup. Can, you know, you need to jump on that.
Hey,
know?
Joy, I'd like to add that this is definitely a case of men are from Mars and women are from Venus. The way
mm-hmm.
they approach their health is a polar opposite. With the diagnosis, women tend to mobilize. They're getting information. They're sharing information with friends and neighbors, girlfriends. Yeah. More often than not, men shut down. They believe they can take care of it. There have been many instances where they don't even tell their families and wives, and they will not talk to their sons with this important genetic information that your chances are double because I am your father and I have prostate cancer. So we're trying to change that dialogue, but it's an uphill struggle, and men need to understand this and make it something to talk about.
Yes, I'm glad we're having discussions like this because I was in Atlanta getting ready to do a show, Joy, and this young man, I don't know how he got backstage, but he got back there, and he just came in my dressing room, you know, unescorted, and he said, man, Charlie Wilson, you know, I heard you on the radio and you were talking about prostate cancer, man, and I'm glad you did. You saved my life. I was like, I didn't save your life. God saved your life. That's just, he said, but no, me and my friends, we went. All of us had prostate cancer. My other friend, his was a lot farther gone than we were, but he's still in doing some other stuff, and I was like, he just came back to thank me, and I think we should do more talking about it. I've been across the country where there's men groups, and I've gone into the different communities and the neighborhoods and joined
mm-hmm.
some of these groups, and brothers are sitting up in there afraid to go to the doctor because they don't want to take the exam.
Mm.
Like the announcement that you had on before, the guys in London there. It's like this. African American men do not like the example.
Talking about sexual, well, I think in our community, we don't talk about, first of all, sexual issues. The prostate is close to, you know, a sexual piece of anatomy, and I think sometimes men might be like, well, if I go get this checked out, is something going to happen to my male prowess, you know? And I think the TSA is saying, no, it's very quick and easy. Just boom, boom, and you're in and out, but it can save your life, you know?
And it's nothing compared to what we expect all women to go through on an annual basis with their gynecological exams.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I will tell you, I'm a woman. I get gynecological exams, and trust me, it's a little longer than boom, boom. You know?
and mammogram. I mean, you know,
mammogram's
come on, man.
Awesome.
I just think we just need to man up. Let's man up and put that whimper in the side and go get a checkup. I'm sorry. I zero tolerance for me. I just think we have to man up and go get a checkup. That's all. You know. And I heard that was a case, Joy, of a young man who's 27 years old.
Mm.
Who developed prostate cancer.
See, 27.
27 years old.
27. And see, you have the power as an advocate for yourself when you're talking to your physician. Do not be afraid of your physicians. And this is for anybody. Sometimes you have to push them a little bit to say, hey, if you have some kind of, you know, kind of like a feeling in the back of your neck that you think something is wrong and they're kind of pushing you to the side, it's your health insurance, you're paying that money every month, or even if you're on Medicaid, you still are the patient and they are there to serve you. Do not let them bulldoze you and say, well, maybe you don't need to get, you deserve that, you're paying for it, it's your right to get certain treatments or screenings. Okay. So sometimes you have to be a little aggressive. I just want to talk about some of the different treatments that are out there. Also, I want to let you know there are many other people, celebrities. Harry Belafonte had prostate cancer. Nelson Mandela had prostate cancer. And they, too, are advocates for, you know, screenings. Harry Belafonte had a radical prostatectomy. For Nelson Mandela, he did radiation therapy. So it depends on the stage and it depends on the type of prostate cancer. But the different treatments, as Dan mentioned, the active surveillance. There's also the surgery I just mentioned, radiation. There's also hormone therapy. Again, this is from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC.gov. You can go to the website. Wonderful information. Some other therapies that are under investigation, and that's why the research is so important, because they need to have these clinical trials to test things out before they give them to the general public. But cryotherapy, that's placing a special probe inside or near the prostate cancer to freeze and kill the cells. Chemotherapy, biological therapy. This is working with your body's immune system to help you fight cancer or control the side effects from other treatments. And then high-intensity focused ultrasound. This therapy directs high-energy sound waves at the cancer to kill the cancer. I can't say it enough. You got to go get your checkups. Men, you got to help your brothers out. They're not listening to us sometimes. I mean, Charlie Wilson, he's listening to his wife, and his wife got on his case. And you know, women, we are definitely helpers in getting men to take care of their health. But I will say from my experience, when another man talks to another man one-on-one or in a group, they're more open to that conversation. So for the men out there, really reach out to the men to your left, to your brothers, again, in your churches, in your schools, at your workplace. And I talk to, if you're in the church, but maybe you're in the mosque, if you're Muslim, maybe you're in a synagogue, if you're Jewish. Wherever you are, wherever you spend a lot of your time and there are other men around, just mention it. You know, you don't have to drag on about it, but just mention it briefly. Hey, you know, I got my checkup, and, you know, what you doing about your health? Because I want to continue to be friends with you for a long time, you know? So, Mr. Wilson, what's on for next? You said you're working on a new album. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that?
Well, I just got started, and I can't tell you too much about it. It's just the very beginning stages. You know, it's like
okay.
When a baby is born. It's in the process of being born. It's early, really early stages, and I'm just picking songs, and I'm up all night with trying to do some concepts and different things like that, and
right.
Coming up with some ideas and singing hooks and choruses and different things.
Okay.
So that's what I've been doing for the past few days. However, I have so many shows, so I'm all over the country, all the way up into 2010. All the shows is being booked out a year in advance. So it makes me know that I'm going to be really, really busy.
It's
really wonderful to be able to go and work the way I've been working. A lot of people who haven't worked as much as I have this year, but very fortunate to be able to get the shows that I want, and all the festivals are coming in and for next year, and it's really a good look for me.
Well, I just want to tell the audience that Mr. Wilson is going to be, it looks like, in Montgomery in November, Montgomery, Alabama, at the Montgomery Convention Center. On the 27th, he'll be in Buffalo, New York at Klein Hans Music Hall.
Yes.
On the 28th, he'll be in Detroit, Michigan. And as he mentioned, he has some hats that he's selling. If you go to the pmusicgroup.com website, you can check out his hats on sale, which are helping, the proceeds help benefit the Prostate Cancer Foundation. So again, you may not have time to go and do a workshop, or you may not have time to talk to people, but you can go right online, pmusicgroup.com, buy a hat, and that money helps the research that may save your brother, your uncle, or your father's life. Dan, I just want to bring you in again. What are some new things that you see on the horizon for 2010 with the Prostate Cancer Foundation?
We have 20 young investigators that we've funded in 2008, and in the coming year we're looking to fund 20 more. And these folks are at the front lines. They're vital to the vibrancy of the research community. These are young doctors and physicians, scientists, who, you know, because they're young, they don't know the answer or the words, it can't be done. They bring new ideas to the field, and they're bringing what's very important, as we call it, human capital to the field.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking to target funding 20 more young investigators in 2010. We'll be funding some more challenge and creativity awards. In fact, there's a creativity award named after Charlie Wilson. So if his fans wish to make a donation to the Charlie Wilson Creativity Award, they can do so at pcf.org or at pmusic.com as well. And we're seeing wonderful breakthroughs. One of the areas that we pioneered back when it was a heretical idea was turning on the body's immune system to fight the cancer. And being several drugs that are in clinical trials now, one is pending FDA approval that looks like in May. There will be a decision on that. So this is an entirely new way of treating the disease, one that we wouldn't have had if we hadn't had this funding for research.
I want to thank both of you. Mr. Wilson, thank you so much. I know you're working hard. Please take the time out to relax. And Dan, I want to thank you again for being very instrumental in today's show. And again, pcf.org. And pmusicgroup.com. Check them out, people. And also write to your council people. Write to your legislators. They can push through different rulings to help provide more funding. They can donate block grants to your communities, to your states, to help start programs in your community. So you have the power, again, to take control of your health. Again, thank you very much for joining me this morning. I'm going to have another show coming up 11:30, right after this, dealing with Alzheimer's. So please tune in for that. But again, thank you, Mr. Wilson. Thank you, Dan, for joining me this morning.
UncleCharlieWilson.com as well. UncleCharlieWilson.com.
Okay, you guys, you heard it here first. UncleCharlieWilson.com. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Enjoy your day. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. Okay, bye-bye.
I know.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screenings. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ, good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. Oh, it's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to ahrq.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
ahrq.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.